You are listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Alan Garfinkel Gold, and this is the second episode on Koso Rock Art.
This is episode 241 for the 29th of August, 2017.
In part one, we talked about what is Koso Rock Art and some preliminary elements, characteristics of what would be best described as the Koso rock art, where it was, how it exists, and where it is. And in this, in today's episode, we're going to talk about what happened and why so much rock art. So we talked about Koso rock art as being a remarkable expression, the highest density of rock art in the Western Hemisphere. Also that it typically contains a tremendous amount of realism, realistic depictions of bighorn sheep, but also the regalia, the ceremonialism, the weaponry associated with the hunt. I've been studying Koso rock art about 40 years, and I think one of the attractions of why the native people occupied that area was the volcanism, the aliveness of the landscape. There is a prominent 1,000-foot-tall red hill of scoria. It's a cinder cone, and that cinder cone has been dated to only 10,000 years ago. It's one of the most recent episodes of volcanism that exists in the area. Besides that, the area is tectonically active. It has earthquakes, but it also has a remarkable hot spring known as Koso Hot Spring. And the boiling hot water is 200 degrees Fahrenheit, and the mud associated with that Koso Hot Springs is said to have healing and medicinal qualities. So I think from a standpoint of power, magic, healing, and the enlivenment of the landscape, this area would have been recognized as a rather religiously potent and powerful place. Additionally, from the standpoint of resources, although it was resource deficient, one of the things that exists in the Koso range itself is one of the largest sources of volcanic glass in all of California. So the obsidian trade was something that occurred throughout prehistory, most often from 10,000 years ago all the way up to about, let's say, about 1,000 years ago. And volcanic glass was considered a very valuable commodity. The trade was east-west, and the Koso people were brisk providers, exporters of this treasured black glass, and they were the black glass traders of the Eastern Sierra. They found that this Koso obsidian, in fact, was found in the Channel Islands, which is the islands off the coast of California, and that existed as early as 10,000 years ago.
This network is supported by our listeners. You can become a supporting member by going to arcpodnet.com/members and signing up. As a supporting member, you have access to high-quality downloads of each show and a discount at our future online store and access to show hosts on a members-only Slack team. For professional members, we'll have training shows and other special content offered throughout the year. Once again, go to arcpodnet.com/members to support the network and get some great extras and swag in the process. That's arcpodnet.com/members.
So what happened in the Kosos, and why was that area considered to be so interesting? Well, one of the things we've found is that during a period of time, during what they call the Newberry period from about 2000 BC to about AD 1, native people were emphasizing large game and specifically bighorn sheep. The canyons were natural sheep traps, and they could hunt sheep and slay them within these natural defiles along the landscape. Bighorn sheep were good for hunting, good for eating, but also good for thinking. They were revered animals. They were seen as immortals, and they were prominent in the cosmology of the native people. Additionally, although there were bighorn sheep, and sheep were prominent, there weren't that many sheep. That was something I had tried to figure out over the years and brought in wildlife biologists to answer those questions. And in the entire Coso range, in this area of about 100 square miles, the wildlife biologist told me that this was rather poor forage and also rather poor environment for bighorn sheep, and there probably was no more than 100 or 200 sheep that existed in that entire area. So even though the native people did not number very many, they also had a habit of enjoying the realm of bighorn sheep and hunting them. As the bow and arrow was introduced about AD 1, about 2,000 years ago, and also they began to use dogs to hunt the sheep, it would be very easy for them to diminish their number and produce what they call overkill or resource depression. And we believe that the archaeological record shows that after that period, after the bow and arrow was introduced, that there was a period when their numbers declined and they may have gone to such a low level that in fact they were in essence hunted out or attained numbers that were so limited as to no longer be a viable economic commodity.
That's it for this episode of ARC 365. Please share this episode on your social media sites so others can have fun and learn about archaeology too. Please consider a donation to ARC 365 by sponsoring an episode for just $35. You can find the sponsor page at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com/sponsor-ARC-365. Thanks and have a great 2017 with the Archaeology Podcast Network. The song Storm Diggin' was written, performed, and recorded by Steve Webster. This show is produced by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle, and was edited by Chris Webster.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.